Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to a special Todo Latino interview. Our guest today is a Latino filmmaker from East San Jose, California. Her new feature-length erotic film is entitled Demise, exclusively being released on Video On Demand on February 27th. Welcome, Yara Estrada Lowe.
Hello. So Hi. Nice to be here, Yara.
So your movie's crazy. I'm just
gonna. Oh my god! You just came out of the.
I just came out of the gate.
Oh, wow. Said it,
you know, I was speaking to her off camera, and yeah, this movie has a lot of cliffhangers. So where one movie throws you off and says that, you know, you wait till the end and you're just like, wait, what? This movie does that like six times. throughout it, before we even get into the movie, I kind of, you know, every superhero kind of has their story. I'm curious to you, you're from East San Jose, California. You know, what started that spark from that area to go into filmmaking?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up in East San Jose is similar, I'm sure, to growing up in East LA, you know, same vibes, same type of people. I grew up playing outside every day in the 80s, and every single day, me and my friends, my neighbors, my sisters would be like, you know, creating skits and just using our imagination like all of us did in those days. So I was always interested in film and movies, and I was always creating something every day of my life. So naturally, I grew up and, you know, became a filmmaker, and the journey has been long, let me tell you.
Oh, my God. Say that louder, definitely. Right.
I can't get past of what you said. You're an 80s kid?
Yes. Okay. I'm 42. I was born in 81.
Says she was one of those gifted to play out on the street.
I know, yeah. But I'm looking at her. She doesn't look like somebody who's... Right? I'm from the 80s. Like, I'm 48. I'm an 80s kid. Like, I understood the whole bicycle with the elephant ears and stuff like that. So I'm just shook. So it just goes to show, well, we Latinos, we age very well.
Yes, mira pa allá. We do.
Mm-hmm. So you started, like, your first theater experience was like 4 years old, right?
Yes. So in San Jose, there's this really big church called Cathedral of Faith, and they would have these big Easter productions every year, and the lines would be out the door. And one of my aunts, she was a dancer and an actress in the theater, and in this production, and so she got me really hooked on acting, and I was like, what, people grow up and they can actually do this for a living? So my first love was acting, you know, and then second was creating. But yeah, I was hooked from the start, and I was in that play for like the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how was it like moving from East San Jose to LA? Was the experience a lot different?
Oh, for sure. LA is so much more rich in culture, and the city is so big and vibrant. You know, San Jose is like Silicon Valley, so it's not really like, you don't get too many artsy people out there. Hmm. San Francisco you do, but like the where I grew up, it's just more, I don't know, a lot of different kind of people that no one's talking about moving to Hollywood and, you know, making it.
And you were one of them out there, yeah.
Yeah, so I love LA. I've been here since 08, so it's definitely home to me.
Oh, Jetta. So in 2016, you wrote a screenplay. Wow, that's for a feature length rom-com entitled Epic Love.
Yes.
And self-funded and produced and starred. How hard was that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So that was my first screenplay. And so we only produced the trailer of that film. And so the actual feature film has yet to be, you know, produced. But it's something on the line for my next movie that's ready to go.
How does that work? So you create a trailer, but not the whole movie itself?
Yeah, because people don't read whole scripts these days. So it's like, well, here's a piece of how it's going to look. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Is that for like selling the concept
or
something like that? Yeah. It's like a pilot. It sounds like a pilot, like a teaser.
A trailer, and then that will get people more interested.
That's what they do in those Indiegogos or crowdfunding.
Yeah, they do that too. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of people do that. So it's just a better way to say, hey, want to see my next project? Watch these 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of interesting to me, because I always thought that the process for that was like you had to create like a pilot episode or something like that.
For TV, yes.
And so then for movies, it's a trailer.
For film, it's just a one-off, so it's really hard to get financing. And so that's why I created that trailer, so I can just show them like how I can make film. Like,
yeah.
Because sometimes people are like, you know, they say they're a filmmaker, but maybe like what level, you know what I mean? Like
yes,
a lot of people create different things, and you want to make sure that when you're selling your product, that you're talking about a professional film, not some little, you know,
backyard
bad lighting and bad sound kind of deal.
Presenting your story, you know, and your concept.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that films were first made and then
the trailer came from the film.
It is, but in the indie world, when you're someone like me with just by yourself, there's no company behind me, there's no studio, it's just me. I'm a solo writer as well, so it's kind of like an easier way for me to communicate my product, you know?
Are you finding it easier now? Because your product's not out to the public yet. Like, it's gonna, right. The movie's not out yet. But are you finding it easier now that you've created that product, that you can use that in order to get financing and funding for future projects?
Yes, and hopefully with Demise coming out, you know, I hope it's a hit. I hope people love it.
It was good. It's going to be something to talk about.
I'm banking on Demise, you know, being the ticket so I can just create more, you know, create more films. So.
I want to give you props because for being like a indie film, I was actually like hooked on my, I was watching it on my laptop while getting ready on my way here and last night too. Uh-huh. And I was just like, and I had to call my friend and tell her like, I just watched this film and this happened and then this happened. But at the end, this happened and we were like cracking up, but it was really good. And I just wanted to know like, when did you like know that you wanted to become a writer, a producer, and an actress as well?
Yeah, so as a kid, I always knew that I wanted to be an actress ever since I was in those Easter productions. And so when I moved to LA in 08, I was just out here for acting. And then I soon realized after years of auditioning that, you know, these aren't the juiciest roles. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting the lead parts. I'm training 5 days a week. I was pretty good. I'd gone through like so many agents and managers, and I was like, the only way I'm going to be able to do what I want to do is create my own path.
Yes.
To this, because no one's going to give me a chance. Nobody knows me. Nobody cares. There's so much. It's so dense, right? The industry's so dense. And so besides that, all the lead roles that I wanted, they weren't for Latinas. That was the other barrier. So That kind of pushed me to learn how to screenwrite and create my own scripts. So
now you went to school for theater. But is that a part of the process? Like when you go for theater, like because I know that there's writing. There's like you can specifically go out for writing, directing. Was the writing aspect something like you said you had to learn, or was that something that came with what you did when you were studying?
I learned how to screenwrite on my own.
Oof. Wow. That is tough. I've seen tough scripts. Yeah.
More skill to you.
I did. Yeah. So.
Very cool.
And to make it sound so like authentic and like natural is very hard. And your film did that. Like it did not sound like cringy or cheesy to me. Like,
oh,
at all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So we keep talking about the film.
I know. Let's get into it. I cannot wait. I'm like, I have questions.
So yeah, I'm just so, I don't know how I feel about this film, first of all.
Are we allowed to give spoilers or no spoilers?
So I'm not
too many. We're going to try to minimize it as possible.
Not too many, because obviously it hasn't come out yet. So it comes out on the 27th. We want to make sure that we're giving people
time.
You know, we don't want to be like one of those trailers that gives all the good parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's a super roller coaster type movie. And I, you know, the parts that we can give are the parts that are already out there, which is part of the history. So the movie's about, you know, a wife who gets hurt by her husband because he's unfaithful. And then the rest just kind of the plot thickens. So,
yeah.
I felt because I'm, you know, for me, like, I felt for his wife. You have me feeling for his wife in the beginning.
Yes.
And by the end of the movie, you have me calling the cops. Like,
I'm feeling for the mistress.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, yes.
And then I'm like, now I gotta see if there's cameras, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's so weird of a movie when it comes to, like, the way that you set it up. What went into your mind when you, like, is this something
Dinos
tragic
la verdad,
that happened?
Yeah, no, Dinos la verdad.
You know, was this like a Taylor Swift breakup movie or something?
Not at all.
Like, what went into your mind when you wrote this movie? Because it makes you constantly go back to like a certain scene and go, okay, well, damn, like this caused all this.
Yes.
So when did you decide I want to write this movie? Yes. And why did you decide to write it like that?
Okay. So I wrote this movie, believe it or not, in summer of 2020. Mm. It took me 3 months to write my first draft. I wrote the entire summer nonstop. And that it was during the pandemic. So I was ready to write my, you know, a rom-com or something fun and light. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm not feeling happy or comedic. I need to write something a little darker because, like, everyone was just feeling a certain way that year. And so I don't know. I just was thinking about this whole scenario. And it just started with the husband and wife at first. And then it just, it's just weird how you, when you create maybe a half of like an act and like act one, you're just trying to, you know, thicken the plot. And I thought,
oh, you thicked it up.
Oh yeah, she stacked that up.
She thick.
And the crazy thing is, this is total fiction, though, by the way. Like, none of this.
I know. Like, this is inspired. I was
wondering, did you know somebody who went through this?
Yeah, no. So one of the things I did think about, because I was like, what would level up the stakes so high? Like, what? Oof. It's like, what do people care about the most? And then I thought about women, and then I thought, what do women care about the most? Most women, in my opinion, think they want to have kids. They want a family.
Right.
That level of love for what you want in this life, that would level up this storyline. You know, yeah. This is what mm-hmm. I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, what if a woman couldn't get what she wanted and someone took it from her? What would she do? And that's how my Ooh. Mind just went, oh! And then I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. So,
yeah, it was wild. I was a little mad. And a little...
I don't want to give anything away, but...
I know.
And go ahead, JC.
No. I messaged both of them. I was like, if I thought it couldn't get any worse, and at the end, I was like, oh, it got worse. Like, this family has no morals. They have no morals.
And that was the other thing. I was like, sort of like in those noir films, like, yes. All the characters, they have, like, the good and the bad sides to them. And I thought, how dimensional is that? And I was wanting these characters to, you know, have... Let the audience find out who they want to root for, because they're all good and bad, right? So that's kind of like how
there's a lot of people watching this interview.
The layers on the characters, the international, like you say, you know, there's a good side, and I don't want to give out a spoiler, but for me, you need to really get to the storyline. I was unraveled about that twin sister part. That's all I'm going to say. You know, you got to pay attention and you got to really look out because yes. The details.
Yes.
How you literally, you know, you didn't say much, but you were giving out that information in the movie, you know, with the cast, with the actress that was, you know, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's definitely the second time around that you watch the film that you find those little Easter eggs along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you see me kind of giving speeches, it's because I rarely watch a movie where I can honestly say, okay, this movie kind of caught me off guard. I don't think the movie's as successful if you would have just stopped with the relationship of the husband and the wife.
Right.
Mm. You know, I think that what makes the movie is the journey that you kind of drive home until the very end. It's not like you get a little bit and then... It's
you have to watch the whole thing.
You have to watch the entire. It's almost like, I'm surprised there wasn't like Marvel credits afterwards, just to kind of throw out for what other stuff. But when you think about that concept, just from a movie standpoint, what inspired you to continue that process from there? Because yes. I know you mentioned that there's a lot that needed to be kind of added. Mm-hmm. But what made you at one point sit there and say, you know what? This wasn't enough. Yeah. I have to add that.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I didn't want the film to be one-dimensional in like just something about cheating and an affair. Like that will get old.
Yeah.
Really
like I think that topic is like it's covered on every single Lifetime channel or whatever.
It would have been
then
predictable.
You watch the whole movie. Yeah. It's like, all right, what's next?
It's a struggle between the husband and the wife the entire time.
Boring. So I thought more of a really intense love triangle mm-hmm. for the love that Caleb had, not only for his wife, but his mistress. And I thought that she was his Achilles heel. And so what if she came? Because I was really sad when I was writing, and I, you know, the mistress.
Don't say it. But when you wrote it, I
but I think it's the feelings, like I say, you know, you put into place between a relationship of loyalty, love, betrayal, and then how you give at some point also forgiveness, which was like, how can even forgiveness play a part in this moment?
Yeah.
How?
But that's the thing. I feel like it's such an interesting topic. It's very sensitive. A lot of people actually go through this in real life. And I'm sure even something similar to your story has happened. Like, I think so, right? Like, I don't want to give it away, but like...
No, I think that families have found themselves in an intricate relationship where, you know, especially when, you know, you have already a setup. And again, we don't want to say that much. But where other people, you know, come into the whole... makes a what is defining a family
right
in that interaction.
Mm-hmm. So how do you come up with your storylines as far as like, is it always what you're feeling in the moment? Because I know you said COVID
it's weird how it's sort of like, you know, slowly opening a gift and then there's more and then more and then you're just like, whoa. And then you just find this treasure at the bottom. It was sort of like that, the writing.
Unless you're peeling off little by little.
Like that, it turns out to be a coupon for like, you know, $25 Chuck E. Cheese. That's not exactly a very good example, y'all.
Okay, well, I don't know how to describe it. It's
just, nothing but if you find like a ring,
the characters, they kind of speak to you in a way, and it's just...
And then time also was playing a role into each one of the faces, especially for her, your character, Caleb, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you take any, like... any people's experiences and put them into films now? Like, or do you try to make everything?
This one is completely fiction. There is no.
Wow. So you thought of this?
Yes.
You are demented. No, I'm just kidding.
I have a crazy imagination.
What's going on in there is going to be amazing to watch for years to come.
You know that it's like real when you're sympathizing with the mistress and feeling bad for her, but then you're like, oh, she was a mistress.
Okay, no. I mean, let's go to that topic.
I felt bad she got
Ryan. First of all, I'm going to ask you about the actors in a minute. But
okay.
Location.
Yeah, cheating is like such a really deep topic, like she was saying. Mm-hmm. This is the only movie I've ever seen where at one point I had sympathy for Caleb.
Oh, good.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it was one of those times where I'm just like, okay, like I understand, pero coño, like what this man is going through is beyond like what anybody should go through for that. Like sometimes you just move on and so forth. I'm curious from the actor's perspective, from the cast. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's a whole interview audition process and what were their reactions as they were kind of reading the script? You know, you as a director, you're dealing hand in hand with these people every day. You're guiding them. Was this an easy process for them? Was it something that when they read it, they were just like, okay, how do we kind of, you know, rev ourselves up to feel some of the emotions that we felt on it? Because they were just amazing. I mean, the way they delivered this made you feel each of the parts.
Yes.
So what was it like working with them? And then like, what was that process like for them?
Sure. So yeah, definitely we had amazing casting directors to find this talent, you know. We're not a huge film, so it's hard to get that level of talent when you don't have like the whole world to offer them, right? And so when Carla Mendez, who plays Caleb, when he auditioned, I knew right away. I'm like, that's him. That is him. I don't even need a callback. That's him. And so that was easy. His audition was easy for us because we were just like, wow, you know? And so one of the things that we did in preparation before we shot anything, which sometimes a lot of people aren't doing these days, is getting a few hours together with the lead cast and just go over all the important scenes and all the gut-wrenching scenes. And I thought it was really important that they meet before we shot anything, because this is a relationship.
You don't have like a live run of when you're going through the script or the...
Yeah, so we had a table read, and then the next day we had, I rented a small theater for just a straight rehearsal with the three leads. Mm-hmm. And so then they got to kind of know each other and fill each other out and how...
Build that chemistry?
Yes. And so like we got to do like full on, you know, runs of scenes, like acting, like practicing. And so, that was really helpful. And then I got to see the dynamic between all of them. And then Yeah, so I mean, they're great actors, so it wasn't really hard to direct them because they already had spent years and years acting. So
you could definitely tell.
She definitely starts the movie spicy.
Yes. Oh yes.
So, you know, for those of you watching, just pay attention to those first couple of scenes and then just move right along. Because it kind of sets the stage for everything else that's you know, going to take place. All right. I mean, if, you know, when does the movie comes out on the 27th? What are the streaming platforms that they're going to be able to get it on, or the video on demand platforms?
Yes. So it's going to be on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Vudu, and then on demand as well. Comcast, AT&T, Spectrum, DirecTV.
Sweet.
Nice.
And it's distributed by Gravitas Ventures.
Oh, congrats to you.
Wait, I wanted to ask one more thing. Since your brain is already working this way with this film, what's next? Are you doing horror? Are you doing more rom-coms?
So crazy thrillers? I want to write a sequel, and I already have like the whole like layout for that story. So that is hopefully going to happen.
Can you give us a little hint or not really?
Well,
I mean, if she gives it, no, hold on a second.
You have to check out the movie.
If you make her give a little hint of the sequel, then people are going to know what took place.
Right.
So you can't do that without kind of crapping on the first
one. Okay, what is it? A rom-com?
Oh, so the next thing, hopefully, Demise, you know, the sequel. I don't know what it's called yet.
Yeah, first of all, if any of you think this is a rom-com after you watch it, we got a problem. This is not a rom-com. At least not in my book. There's nothing funny about
this. It's true. The ending left us wondering if there was going to be more to it. So you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally right. Another version of that. That's going to be tough. I don't know if I can get through that one. That was crazy. So if people wanted to follow you, where would they go?
On Instagram, Yara Estrada _low. And then our Demise page as well, Demise the Film.
So you're not on TikTok? You're not dancing on TikTok and stuff?
No, I started a page just to start, you know, with all this film stuff. But no, I make movies not. No.
She's not dancing. Make the cast do some dances. There you go. Right.
Good publicity.
I might do a dance right before the release.
There you go.
That would be funny. But yeah, I can't wait for the movie to come out. Again, it's on the 27th. Be sure to watch it. Demise. It's going to be amazing. It is definitely a roller coaster ride. So, you know, have your spouse watch it with you.
Please recommend.
So that they know what could happen.
I did watch it with my spouse.
But again, thank you for joining us. And it's great. And the movie is absolutely amazing. We can't wait to see what are the projects, you know, you make.
Thank you guys so much.
Congrats.
Happy to be here.
All right. I'm Rafael. That is Yara. That is Yobi. That is Daisy. And we're out.